And now we give you the new Prime Minister-elect of Thailand.
Ting Ying Lak Chinoat, just a simple lady, and the lady that who really willing and sincere to help the country.
That's the voice of Yingluck Shinawat. It's impossible to really appreciate the importance of her victory there without understanding the storyline of Thailand over the past few years. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version. And Rachel Harvey, BBC correspondent in Bangkok, are you with us?
I am with you, yes.
I want you to take a listen to my really brief story here and correct me if I get something wrong. So throughout the years, the poor in Thailand have really had not had a lot of say in who ruled the country or how it was governed. Then enters Thaksin Shinawat. He was elected prime minister in 2001. He introduced a whole series of laws that were meant to help the rural poor. In fact, he helped reduce poverty in Thailand by half. He was later deposed by the military. Now, his youngest sister has emerged at the head of the Pheu Party and won the election with an enormous turnout from poor voters in rural areas. Yingluck Shinawat will soon be the country's first female prime minister. Her party won more than half of the country's parliamentary seats, which means she's going to have a lot of power to make changes if she wants to. Rachel Harvey, journalist of the Department of the BBC, that all sounds good, right, to you?
That all sounds pretty good to me. Straight A student. The only thing I guess we've left out of that is Mr. Thaksin, Yingluck Shinawat's oldest brother, that he still has very powerful enemies within Thailand. The reason that the coup plotters say they moved against him is because they say he was becoming increasingly corrupt and authoritarian. He now lives in exile to avoid a prison term that was served on him. And many people believe that he is really the brains behind this election victory, that he was, if not pulling the strings, at least providing guidance and advice. Now, I went to Dubai to interview him. He denies that he was directing the campaign, but he certainly didn't deny that he was in this advisory capacity in the background and probably will be now to the government as well. That makes his critics nervous. It makes his supporters absolutely jubilant.
And funding, didn't he provide a great deal of funding for this political party?
He did in its previous incarnations. Two political parties allied to Thaksin Shinawat have been dissolved officially by the court. So this is, if you like, the third coming of the same political vehicle. He says he has not personally funded this election campaign, but friends of the party have. It was certainly very, very well funded. It was a very slick campaign. Yingluck Shinawat, who's a political novice, remember, she's never run for office before, let alone held the highest office. She kept very strictly to her talking points. She was very tightly managed on and off stages pretty quickly, allowing more powerful orators to whip up the crowd. It was slick, it was well disciplined, and it's come out on top.
But isn't there a danger, Rachel Harvey, a reporter with the BBC, isn't there a danger that there could just simply be another coup? I mean, this is not a military that is bashful about staging coups.
No, it's certainly not. There have been 18 coups or attempted coups since the constitutional monarchy was brought into being in 1932. So, no, they will interfere whenever they think it's necessary. And I use that last word in quotation marks. But they have said there will be no more coups. Unfortunately, the last time they said that was in 2006, just before they removed Mr. Thaksin. So no one quite trusts what comes out of their mouths. But they are saying that is it. We don't interfere in politics. We will not launch another coup. But they will watch what Yingluck Shinawat does. And by that, I think what they mean is there has been this fear among Mr. Thaksin's critics that if his sister comes to power, she will use her majority to grant him a pardon and bring him back home. Now, the last thing that the army generals who moved against him want to see is him coming back, the whole thing coming full circle. I mean, as it is, we've had two of his parties dissolved by the court. We've had a coup. We've had a series of street protests here in Thailand, largely revolving around those who support and those who are critics of Mr. Thaksin. It's really been all about him and his battle with the military for the last 5 years.
That's Rachel Harvey, a journalist with our partner, the BBC. Also with us, Christian Freeland, digital editor at Thomson Reuters, joining us from New York. Christian, there was a bit of a surge in Asian stocks after Yingluck Shinawat's victory was announced. Could Thailand suddenly, well, not suddenly, but could emerge as a sort of competitor for China?
I think maybe not Thailand alone, but I think that's something that a lot of people are looking for, both in the markets and in foreign policy, is a balance in Asia. China is so big, the Chinese economy is growing so quickly, and China is centrally ruled. So, you know, the Chinese position is very clear and very forcefully represented. And, you know, that means that people, you know, people in the State Department, and not just in the State Department in Washington, but in other, you know, foreign capitals, and also people in business, are looking for some kind of Asian counterbalance. India is one, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot more emphasis on India. And I think this election makes people think, well, you know, Thailand could be another really important, you know, place where we're seeing growth, a popularly supported government.
Chrystia Freeland is a Thomson Reuters digital editor. Rachel Harvey, BBC correspondent. She has promised a lot of things, including this massive minimum wage increase. Does that have some people worried about whether or not Thailand can afford it?
It certainly does, particularly in the markets. I mean, they reacted nervously ahead of this election, partly because of fears of more political instability if the victory wasn't clear-cut. Well, it is clear-cut, so the markets have reacted positively. They're hoping for a period of stability, but it was really a pre-election promises of giveaways, promises of free computers to school kids. It was promises of big infrastructure projects, high-speed rail. I mean, no doubt these are things that Thailand could do with, but can it afford them right now? The biggest issue really among many voters was also high commodity prices feeding through into high food prices. That is what Yingluck Shinawat has told me she really wants to focus on right off the bat. When she comes into office, it's going to be the economy, which is absolutely front and center for her.
And that may be why she got so many votes from voters among the rural poor. Rachel Harvey, BBC correspondent from in Bangkok, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.